Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
We're ready whenever.
Oh, you're recording?
We are. We're already recording.
Okay. Tom usually does the beginning. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hypecast. It's a show where we, I think we get hyped about stuff.
Get hyped!
Get hyped. I am one of the hosts, David Bell. Tom normally does the intros, but Tom has vertigo.
Fucking vertigo, like a Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, just like a Hitchcock movie. He is a useless man now. So I got a special co-host.
Who is it?
I think it's you.
Is it me? Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is neat.
It's Adam.
Adam Todd Brown.
Adam Todd Brown.
From podcasts.
From podcasts.
And comedy.
Yeah.
And things of the like.
Yeah, he is the guest co-host today. Then I guess we don't have a guest, or you're both. You're a hybrid.
I'm a hybrid. My dog is here.
Yeah, we got, oh yeah.
Winter is here. She can,
she can guest.
She can add things to this.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for filling in.
I like doing this podcast.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like you doing this podcast.
It's a low pressure kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just bitching about movies,
yeah.
and trailers and stuff.
What's coming out? We'll tell you.
We'll tell you right now, actually. Do you want to get to that first trailer?
We should get to that first trailer.
All right. This is the Irishman. Scorsese.
It is a star-studded cast. Yeah. Holy shit. And this is a Netflix movie, right?
Yeah, it's limited theaters and then Netflix. That was the most shocking thing about this trailer was when at the end they're like, on Netflix. And I was like, that doesn't feel right.
Because this is like a Goodfellas reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino.
Yep.
And fucking, what's his name from Gone Fishing?
Oh, God. The Pesci.
Yeah, Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci is the biggest one because he doesn't act anymore.
That's right.
He's like mean Rick Moranis, where he's like, he's also retired, but he'll show up every, like, I think he retired for a while and then he showed up in The Good Shepherd. Do you remember that movie?
I do.
He's in it for like one scene. And then has he done anything? I feel like he showed up once after
that. I haven't seen Joe Pesci in a long time.
Yeah. So it's nice to see the big deal with this is they digitally de-aged them, which is funny because watching this trailer, people were like, check out the de-aged Robert De Niro and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's just what they look like. And then it occurred to me like, oh no, they're super old now. And
right.
I just forgot.
Yeah. That didn't even register when I watched the trailer. Now I have to watch it again.
Yeah. They're de-aged to like the 90s version of themselves. Cause like Joe Pesci still looks fucking old. They all still look like old bastards.
Yeah. I didn't have any, sort of moment like that during the trailer where mm-hmm. I was like, holy shit, look how young.
Apparently they're doing them at three different ages. There's like them as old men, like regular, what they are.
Sure.
Them in their like their 40s, which is what they see. I think they have them de-aged even younger in other scenes because that's just a thing we can do now.
So kind of like the third season of True Detective with Mahershala Ali. The thing is, Mahershala Ali looks young now, whereas Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and Joe Pesci look very old now.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because we used to do this shit all the time, right? With makeup, and it looked awful.
Right.
And it never looked good. That's one of those things like that I think CG is good, really good for, like that has objectively gotten better, which is our ability to de-age or age actors.
Oh, for sure.
And now that we have that ability, should we just go nuts with it?
I think we should.
Should we do a film where Robert De Niro plays a 10-year-old?
He should play a 10-year-old, or he should be in like a Step Up sequel or something, yeah, where he's like a Channing Tatum type.
Oh my God, yes.
Doing the dance moves and things.
And he's like super swole. Because you can't, you can take actors. This feels like it's a bad idea, but like you can take actors that have specific personalities, but look like in a way that doesn't work for the role, and you can like mix and match now. It's like the deep fakes.
Yeah,
like you can make, man,
that was
you
a
could
thought.
Make like Jim Carrey play like a middle-aged woman, and just look that way, and they just like, it's like putting someone's brain in someone else's body.
That was a thought I had about deep fakes the other night. Like, is it going to get to a point where actors just kind of agree to share their cache of old pictures of themselves with some AI program, and it's like, all right, well, now I'm starring in this movie, but really it's just some random underpaid actor doing all the moves, and you just put their face on it, and the computer's like, I know how they'd look in this situation.
Like the way comedians will have like writers and stuff where it's like, right, you do the work. I mean, maybe. Or like whenever like you see an actor close up of their hands, it's usually some other, like an actual person who's there to do hand modeling and stuff, like, right, sometimes. Or stand-ins. You're right that like all actors will just be like, just Simone me. I just want to be, yeah, Simone.
It would be so easy. So then you're just getting paid for them using your likeness in a movie.
Right, because there's,
it's
certain,
it's the kind
actors
of dumb shit we'll try.
Yeah, there's certain actors where it's like they're so well-known that just someone doing an imitation. Or like, okay, what about... What about playing presidents? Like, we do a JFK movie, and the actor just digitally is made to look like JFK.
That would be interesting. Because the thing with deepfake videos, they still don't really have the voices down. You still have to do a fake voice.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but
someone who just does a really good JFK.
Yeah. Just Andy Serkis. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's, yeah, what Andy Serkis is. Yeah.
Yeah, throw a motion capture rig on Andy Serkis and make a JFK movie.
Yeah, I think we're not getting crazy enough with our ideas with this stuff. Like, just making Andy Serkis look like an ape, it's not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many other possible... Make him a woman.
Yeah, I mean,
first woman president, Andy Serkis. I'm into it.
All right. Just a mocap president?
Yeah, the things
like
they're doing with those videos are terrifying.
Yes. Like, I don't know what comes next.
Yeah, we're headed for... Have you watched Years and Years on HBO?
No.
It's like Black Mirror, but 10,000 times more intense. It's a 6-episode series, and it follows one family in England as England slowly devolves into fascism.
No.
And it is really intense, really terrifying, and there's a bit in there where deepfake videos become a huge problem.
Yeah.
And there's all these clips of politicians going, that's not me. I didn't say any of that. And I feel like we're going to see that a lot in the coming year, if not in the 2020 election.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think where it's like we've hit a point. Like when you play an open world video game and you've beaten everything and you're just sitting there like, I don't know where else to go. And you just stop playing the game. I feel like we're at that point where it's like, man, the comet better come and wipe us out.
Yeah.
Because I think we've hit the end.
And the thing that scares me about deepfakes isn't the fake videos. It's that they'll give people a really valid justification for saying real videos are fake. They'll just go, what? It's a fake video. Like...
Oh, yeah.
That's what people are doing now.
That's what we've learned, is that a politician can just blatantly lie, and it doesn't matter how much we...
Right.
Yeah.
And now we will never, ever, ever know if shit caught on video is real or not.
Yeah, exactly. We're doomed.
We are.
So, yeah, The Irishman.
The Irishman looks good, though.
Yeah, The Irishman looks really good. I love me some Scorsese. He never... I don't know. I've never disliked a Scorsese film.
His Bob Dylan documentary on Netflix right now is really good.
Is it?
It's about my favorite Bob Dylan era, which was like 74 to 76 when the Desire album and Blood on the Tracks and shit like that came out.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's about this tour he launched called the Rolling Thunder Review, which was... It's my favorite favorite live album.
Okay. I want to see him do more like Hugo. I liked that he did a kid's movie because it was like his way of being like, yeah, I can fucking do anything. I'm Martin Scorsese. And he can.
And he's right. He is Martin Scorsese, and he can do anything.
All right, let's move on to the next trailer, because I'm very excited about this next one. This is The Lighthouse.
I didn't like The Witch.
Okay, well then you probably won't
like this.
I'm
worried about this.
These motherfuckers are salty as hell in this trailer.
They really are.
I'm looking forward to not understanding a word that anybody is saying.
Like, they're salty as hell to the point that they resemble the Morton Salt guy. Which is actually a woman, I think.
Is it?
Morton Salt? I think that's a woman.
Yeah, I guess. I don't pay too much attention to salt.
But yeah, this is a grizzled Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, in a lighthouse with big bushy beards and mustaches just getting so crazy at each other.
I don't know that it needed to be black and white.
I know what you mean. I have this a lot about a lot of things that are black and white now, where it's just like, look, we invented color. That said, the cinematography is clearly like very old school. Like it's matching the black and white. So I get it. And maybe it depends on what the story being told is, you know?
It's called for in some situations.
Yeah, I think if the story reflects it or not. But
we're doing a best bad movie ever about Under the Cherry Moon soon.
Yes, we are.
And that is a movie that I would argue called for being black and white.
Well, we'll discuss this.
We will.
I think I might agree with you, but I'm still mulling that over. I'm still trying to figure that out.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah, but as someone who really liked The Witch, and I get why it's not... I get why someone wouldn't like it. Because it's a slow-ass movie, and it's...
I didn't like the payoff at the end.
Okay.
I thought it was corny.
See, I like the payoff just because of what's leading up into it, is that it's the idea of this... She's just being driven into this situation where...
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of Midsommar, but I didn't like Midsommar that much.
Midsommar was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. And
yeah, I don't know that it meant to be as funny as it was.
I can't tell anymore, because I keep finding interviews going either way.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I honestly don't know. They certainly didn't advertise it as being as fucking hilarious as it was.
No.
But, like, I get that idea, is that, in Midsommar, it's her kind of nobody supporting her until this cult finally shows up, and they're like, we're going to actually, like... sympathize with you and stuff.
Yeah.
All you have to do is put your boyfriend in this bear outfit and light him on fire. And it's like, I'm in.
It's a small price to pay.
Yeah. And I like that with The Witch, where by the end, it's just like, you know what? These witches aren't so fucking bad after all, because my family is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And a goat talked. I like the goat.
The goat talking is what bothered me about the movie.
Really?
That's the part that I thought was just really fucking cheesy.
See, I thought it was hilarious.
It was funny,
Yeah, and I didn't mind it for being ridiculous.
But up to that point, nothing else was funny. So it felt like they were trying to scare me.
I don't think it was... I think it was trying to be creepy. And I think maybe some people found it creepy.
I mean, if a goat walked in here right now and started talking, I'd be creeped the fuck out.
I always wanted that scene where she's like, what will you have me do? And he'd be like, find me some oats and carrots. Like, it's not the devil at all.
Find me some hay to jump off of. For I'm a goat and I prefer to jump.
I liked that movie. It made me creeped out, the rabbit, which it's like the devil jumping through the animals or something, because you see the rabbit earlier. And I like a movie that makes me creeped out by, like, a rabbit in the woods.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for this just because I think The Witch had some really good instincts in it of what makes horror movies work. It's certainly not my favorite, but, I'm excited to see what this person does. This and, The Nightingale, which is the Babadook director, her new movie is out now, right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's called The Nightingale?
The Nightingale. It's not a horror movie, I don't think. It's more suspense, and it looks harrowing.
I will check that out.
Yeah, because I like these new directors, like them doing more. I don't know. I've been liking a lot of these. Did you watch Under the Silver Lake?
I haven't. I need to. Yeah, it's on Prime.
Director
now.
Of It Follows is
yeah. Film.
That's one that I think was misunderstood, and it's very good, and it's crazy. Like it's not a horror movie,
right?
But all these like up and coming, I don't know, from a few years ago, that wave of like weird horror. I'm very excited about all their follow ups. Let's move on to The Hunt.
The Hunt.
We got a lot of horror.
The Hunt looks like so much fun.
It does. Okay. So here's the thing. If people haven't seen this trailer, it's basically rich people are hunting people on I don't know where.
It's like surviving the game, sort of.
Yeah, and that's what my first impression was, oh my God, they're doing so many of these movies now. The Hunt, there's Ready or Not. I just watched Escape Room. It's all the rich, it's the Hostel meets yeah. the Purge. That said, what actually is in this trailer looks super fun.
Yeah, this looks, there's like a Hunger Games element to it almost, mm-hmm. where it's like out in the open, whereas like Escape Room and Ready or Not, those right. are all kind of contained yeah, inside yeah. buildings. And I don't know, this trailer looks fascinating.
It looks like it's more action than yeah. horror.
And I feel like it'll be funny in parts, even though the trailer isn't really...
Yeah.
Because it's got Ike Barinholtz in it, right?
I think so.
I believe Ike Barinholtz is in it. Yeah, this might be my favorite trailer of the stuff that's on the list.
Yeah, I that's fair. Because it's... Yeah, it's weird that it's a premise. It's kind of like a murder mystery where it's like you can do that a million times, but you can always find a new interesting way to do it because it's almost completely dependent on the characters.
Right.
And the what happens. Like there's a million variations of that.
I like the opening scene of the trailer where she asks what state she's in.
Right, yeah.
And they... She apparently lied to her, and she kills them.
Right, it's like they fucked with the wrong person. Right, that's the yeah. idea.
And that I like that element to it because yeah. then there's a little mystery to it. Like we already know it's going to be
yeah.
rich people hunting poor people, but it feels like there's sort of a mystery box element to it too.
Yes, yeah, I think it's that or like. It's also the mystery box thing. It reminds me of Cube or like Escape Room does it where you want to know like, who are these people? What's yeah. going on? There's also, I think, rich people hunting the poor is our new version of zombies or Nazis where it's like, we can do anything to them.
Yeah.
And nobody, the audience will not sympathize with it.
Right.
If it's just a bunch of, yeah. And I like that. It also reminds me of Year Next, which is that it there's like a satisfaction we get when it's a setup like that of a genre which is normally kind of frustrating, which is like home invasion, purge, where it's like these people are hunted and trapped, where there's like a cathartic like, no, but there's this one person who's doing all the right things and being a complete badass.
Yeah.
And we get to watch it.
Yeah. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, me too. What do you think of this next one? Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, this is like the worst date ever.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by stories like that.
Yes.
Where just on the wrong date at the wrong time.
Yeah.
There's a true crime episode that I'm just obsessed with where it was this guy in a biker gang and someone came to his home and broke in and killed him while he was sleeping. But he was also having a one-night stand that night. And
oh, no.
The girl who was with him got killed, too. And it's just that, like...
Yeah.
Like that... That's a realization I never want to have. Where you just realize, should have stayed home tonight. This is going to go really fucking bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that feeling we all get, like, if you get into a car accident or something happens where you're like, why did I fucking do that?
Yeah.
One little difference.
And what are the odds yeah. this night?
Yeah. And this, yeah, for people who haven't seen it, it's about a couple going on a date and they get pulled over by a racist-ass cop. They make him super racist, which is good because they end up shooting him.
Right.
And it's kind of, that's pretty cathartic. And then they have to go on the run. And it's the guy from Get Out, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it feels like a kind of realistic premise. It's a thing I could see happening.
Yeah, because
today very much, especially the part where we see this in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, where people kind of rally around them,
right?
Where they become this like face of fighting police oppression.
Because you watch any fucking video, and I don't want to bring up the recent ones because I'm sure when people, there's no point people won't be listening to this and have a recent one in their mind.
Right.
Where you watch those videos and you're like, God, I want to hit that cop. Like a lot of the times where it's like, I want these people to.
Even when they're not shooting videos.
Yeah. No, it's just like this cop is acting so aggressive and so scary. And it's like, I want to step in and fucking smack him. And so it's sort of that instinct where it's like these people actually do get some sort of retribution immediately. They defend themselves against this cop.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's not a couple that just decided to go out and kill a cop.
No, they make it very clear, which is like, this is one of those scenarios that's like the worst case scenario of a cop pulling them over, and it's like it's them or him at that point.
Right. It's evocative of the scene in Crash where Matt Dillon feels up Tandy Newton,
right,
while Terrence Howard just stands there and watches.
Right, and you want to smack Matt Dillon, but I mean, I always want to smack him. But
you always want to smack Matt Dillon. You always want to see Terrence Howard smack someone.
Yes.
And we got none of that with Crash.
No.
Which was disappointing.
Yeah, it was the biggest problem with Crash, probably.
Right. One of them.
Of all, no, that's it. That's
probably just that, yeah.
That's the only issue with that movie.
Oh, that fucking movie.
Ugh.
But yeah, this movie looks great.
Yeah, it really does.
It, the cast seems really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Who made it? Is it?
Shit, that is a very good question. That I guess I can look it up.
I mean, it's not that. I probably won't know who it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like if it was like a Spike Lee movie, they would have told us in the trailer, probably.
Right.
Like, oh shit, it's a Tarantino movie. Who knew?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Let's see. It's no, I don't know who this person is. Let's see. What else have they done? A Master of None. Something called Insecure.
The Aziz Ansari show?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Insecure is an HBO show.
Some
that's
Beyonce
really popular
videos,
right now.
A Jay-Z video.
What's the person's name?
Let's see. Melina Matsoukas? I don't know.
I don't know.
But it looks like a David Fincher type where they've been in the industry for ever doing videos and stuff, and this might be one of their first. Fucking people check out this trailer. It looks interesting.
Yeah, I think I saw this trailer before Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I saw it for the first time today. It snuck up on me completely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks interesting. This next one, I've been hearing about this for a little while. Little Monsters.
I'm always surprised when a zombie movie is able to capture my interest these days still.
Agreed. This is kind of the same. Well, it's the anti-version of the rich people hunting people, where it's a premise that I'm like, man, there's so much of this. This is a zombie comedy. It's got, who's the cast? Lupita
Nyong'o.
Nyong'o. There were other people. Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, man, that is not something that I want to see. But it looks kind of good.
It looks really good.
Yeah, she looks like she's doing great in it. It's about basically like a kids' camp that there's a zombie apocalypse, and the game being played is she's trying to like sanitize what's going on for the kids.
Right. She's trying to convince him it's not real.
Yeah,
and
she's
just
like
part of the game. Meanwhile, like, there's people having their guts eaten right outside the window.
They do some really good, like the zombie eating a porcupine, I believe, and it has spikes all over its face.
There's a scene where Josh Gad bites a kid back.
Yes.
He goes, how do you like it? And he goes, what have I done?
Yeah. I think that's what makes this, is that what surprises me is that the zombie genre is so played out And then a movie like this comes along and they're like, no, it's not. Here's a bunch of new ideas.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, shit, that's a good idea. Like,
did you see Train to Busan?
Yeah, I really liked that.
Yeah.
One.
That's, I think, a really good example of a recent zombie movie where the premise is just amazing. And then Train to Busan, like, the characters are so great. Like, you legitimately care about everyone.
Yes.
But even without that, just a zombie movie set on a train was a fun premise.
I think what made Train to Busan work is that they realized, the train was a cool, that was a great gimmick. But they were like, you know what zombie apocalypses are that they never are in movies? Sad. Like, it's sad. And like, there's a few scenes that'll deal with that. But it's like, no, these people would be genuinely sad all the time. Because people they love are dying left and right. And it's not like a comet hitting the earth where it's like everybody's dead. It's more like it's a disease. So it's like we don't know. There's always this like tease of hope of like maybe they've made it. Maybe they didn't. And like that tragedy of learning slowly that people died that you love. So I got to watch that again because it was so emotional.
Yeah.
For a zombie movie.
And yeah, Train to Busan's great.
Yeah. And this, I don't know, this really seems like fun too.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be, it kind of like Shaun of the Dead was came out at a time when, that was kind of early in the zombie stuff, I guess. Right. But even if it wasn't, it was such a unique take on it that it was damn good times.
Right, and this seems unique enough to work. Like there's, I don't know, the mascot zombie, which I've seen versions of that before.
Yeah.
There's like some really good gore. Heard saying to them, like, you know how you play tag? Well, they're all
right.
It.
They're all it.
They're all it. So you can't let them touch you. And yeah, even Josh Gad is coming across really good in it too.
Yeah. It seems like it's going to be a really good performance from her.
Oh yeah.
She's great in the trailer. There's a scene where she leaves. They're in a trailer also.
Yep.
And she leaves and runs back and jumps in the trailer. And the kids, one of the kids is like, are you okay? And the way she says, I'm fine. It's like, it's such a great moment.
Yeah. I wonder if this was filmed before. I don't want to say she's better than this, but like she's famous enough now that it's like she wouldn't have to do a movie like this unless it's really good.
That's the thing. It could just be really good.
Yeah. Or it was filmed a little earlier in her career and it just took a while to come out. I don't know. She seems like she's such a good actress that it's like she's too... they didn't need an actress this good
for this.
But I'm so glad they did because I think that's a big part of like what makes this trailer work for me is Lupita Nyong'o just being like really fucking good.
Yeah, she's amazing in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for this one. Not to be confused with the Fred Savage movie.
There's a Fred Savage movie?
Little Monster, isn't it? Hold on.
Oh.
Do people know what I'm talking about? Little Monsters, 1989, Fred Savage, and Howie Mandel.
Sure.
And Daniel Stern. Did you not see?
I think this one missed me somehow.
It's about a boy discovering monsters under his bed, and it's like it's like Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay.
It's what Monsters, Inc. basically, I'm going to say, stole from...
Oh,
the Fred Savage Little Monsters. See, everybody see both.
See both.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've never seen either one.
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc. or Little Monsters.
You haven't seen Monsters, Inc.?
No. I'm not a big animated movie guy.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard. Like when we do the We Just Watched, I've been like avoiding, like we didn't do Toy Story 4. Because it's like, who gives a shit what a bunch of like dudes in their 30s have to say about a kids movie? Like, I like a lot of them, but it's like, who gives a shit if I like them or not? I'm not a child.
Right.
Okay. Continuing horror, our next trailer is for American Horror Story 1984.
I mean, this looks good, but it's because Friday the 13th looks good.
Yeah.
I've seen Friday the 13th.
I stopped. Did you watch? How much of this have you watched? American Horror Story.
I've seen it all.
Wow.
Yeah, I've stuck with it.
Wow. Yeah, I think my sister did too because she sent me a few updates, and they're usually like, "This is fucking ridiculous."
It's hit or miss these days for sure.
Yeah, I stopped at the clown one.
Oh, okay.
Was that like season three?
Yeah, no, that was later than wait.
The lobster claw guy banging chicks.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was season three. That was the like the circus one.
Circus, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't even remember what was season two.
Season two was the witch's coven, I believe.
No, I didn't. It's asylum.
Is first, asylum?
Yeah,
season
I think
two?
First one's haunted house. Second one's asylum. And then circus, because I never got to the coven.
Oh, okay.
I gave up.
So it's coven is four, is hotel five?
I didn't even know. That, all right, this saying
what is... Number what number is it?
Yeah, what season are we up to?
I was just going to ask you.
I don't know. I'm kind of shocked that there's anything after coven.
I think it goes coven, hotel.
Okay.
And then there is a cult season.
Okay.
Which was like a Trump thing.
Yeah.
And was that the most recent season? And Roanoke.
Jesus.
Roanoke was filmed like a reality show, kind of.
Are any of these... Should I watch any of these?
Roanoke wasn't great. God damn it. Now I want to look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
Which...
This one is the first one that I'm like, I kind of want to see this because I've gotten this like newfound nostalgia for the night for the Friday the 13th films.
Right.
Because there is... The Friday the 13th game is what did it for me. Is it was just like I forgot how like kind of beautiful this nostalgia is of this look and this place.
Is that a new game?
Yeah, the Friday the 13th game. It's not new. It's about a year or two, year and a half old. It's a basically it's hide and seek. It's an online game where one person gets to be Jason and everybody else has to be campers. And you need to escape.
That does sound fun.
It's super fun. The thing that makes it really fun is that it started as a Kickstarter, and they basically just got the rights to use the stuff because the creators of the game like sat down with the original Friday the 13th director and like talked to him, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you got to do this." And so the look of the game, every map is a different Friday the 13th movie, and it's down to like every little detail. It's like, "Oh my god, I know that shelf in that cabin."
See, I hear shit like this, and it makes me feel like I should be playing video games.
Certain games, because that game. It's a very clunky game because it's an indie game, but we played it for people who've, you know, been with us and watched our Twitch. They know exactly what I'm talking about because we played it a lot because it was just so much fun to do this hide and seek thing. Now the creators of that apparently are doing a Predator game, which is the same format, which one person is the Predator and they like fight everybody else. And there's like this... It's being in that nostalgic environment. It's why I like the Alien Isolation game, which was a terrifying game, but you're in the first Alien movie, basically. You're walking around, and it's that retro computer look and, like, the noises of the ship. So it's, like, nostalgic and, like,
yeah.
You feel like, oh, I love being in this little pocket, this little world, even though it's a horrifying world
to be in. Yeah, we just did an episode of Pretty Scary, which is our true crime podcast,
mm-hmm.
with a guy named Brock Wilbur, who is the journalist. He's a comedian, but he's also the journalist who broke the NXIVM story.
Oh.
And he mentioned that a friend of his is making a video game where, and I think it's out now, where I think you play as... Either you play as the cult leader and you have to like get people to join your cult and keep them from leaving, or you're in a cult and you have to escape. But either way, I feel like I should be playing video games.
You should be playing video games.
Probably.
Video games have gotten to this point now where, especially indie gaming, where they do some real creative, weird stuff. There was a game I was playing called Raft, where you're just on a raft in the ocean and you have to slowly like... collect trash and like build and survive and there's a shark circling you the whole time. Like video games have just gotten, I don't know.
That sounds pretty great.
Yeah. How did you figure out American Horror Story?
I was right. Coven is the third season.
Oh shit.
Freak Show is the fourth season, the one you're
so
talking
I switched
about.
Coven. I skipped Coven completely.
Yeah, it's Murder House, Asylum, Coven, Freak Show, five is Hotel.
Okay.
Which I think if I recall correctly, that's where people started kind of jumping ship.
Okay.
Was Hotel, which isn't the greatest season, but Lady Gaga's amazing in it. Roanoke was season six. Roanoke has Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, for one thing.
Hmm.
And it's filmed as if they're shooting a documentary about a murder that happened.
Okay.
And so you'll have the people talking who are the people who participate, who were involved in it, and then they'll cut to reenactments, which are done by other actors.
Like The Fourth Kind.
That right.
One, yeah. That's pretty cool.
And that season's fine. Cult was number 7, and Apocalypse was 8.
Jesus. So we're on 9?
We're on 9. And Cult and Apocalypse were both kind of political and sort of Trump-related. And so I think making this season like a slasher thing that takes place in the 80s.
Right.
I think that's going to be a refreshing change of pace.
Okay. Yeah, my issue, the reason I gave up is because it never felt like horror. It felt like a soap opera with horror themes.
It's kind of always that. Yeah. Yeah,
like that's like what The Haunting of Hill House was, is what I was hoping American Horror Story would be.
Right.
And like I started watching like it just bugs me when that happens. I tried to watch season 1 of the Exorcist TV show. Have you watched any of that?
No.
Cuz I thought like, "Oh, this could be really creepy if it's done right." And I got about 15 minutes in because there was a badass exorcist and he was like playing it real fast and loose, and another priest was like, "You're over the line. Like you need to stop doing this." And the badass exorcist pulled a gun out on the other exorcist. It was like, "Just let me save this boy." And I was like, "Yep, I'm done here."
Yeah, that sounds pretty fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, because it was like, let's add more drama to the exorcism show.
Yeah. And I would say for American Horror Story, Hotel is probably the most horror.
I'll check that out.
Like, within the first few minutes of the first episode, a guy gets raped by a metal spike.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it like a walking metal spike?
It's a
with like a human dick.
It's like a freak show type character.
Okay.
And he's wearing a strap on that is just a gigantic metal spike.
Jesus. Yeah, I was imagining like the broom in Fantasia, like alive.
That would have been better.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, I mean that didn't make me want to watch it.
No, but it's definitely the most horror-esque of the most... Well, Roanoke, too.
Roanoke? Okay.
But the last two have been very political.
Yeah, I might try this one. They don't need to be political for American Horror Story.
No.
I don't know. I feel like I've only been in it... I've only watched, like, 2.5 seasons, so it's like...
I'm still a fan. I mean, like, no show is great every season, or most shows aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Ryan Murphy does good work.
What else does he do?
He did The People versus O.J. Simpson.
I liked that.
He did The Assassination of Johnny Versace.
Oh, yeah.
And what I kind of bummed me out is the both of those shows are part of a series called American Crime Story.
Yeah.
Where he's doing the same thing as American Horror Story, where he's like, you know, each season is about something different. But the second season originally was supposed to be about what it was like inside the New Orleans Superdome after Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, wow.
And that would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it became Johnny Versace.
Maybe they'll still do that.
I hope they still do, because that would be
I kind of wish he did what he's doing for American Crime Story to American Horror Story, and just did like, all right, this season is Amityville. This season is the Winchester House. Like, actually doing the dramatized, obviously, like the bullshit versions of these famous hauntings and stuff.
That's kind of also what Hotel, that's sort of what Hotel is, because it's based around the Cecil Hotel, which is in downtown LA, but they've since rebranded it to stay on Main, and I think it's shut down for renovations right now, which is a shame. Right after I started a true crime podcast, they shut down the Cecil Hotel.
That's a shame.
Because I was going to try and book a night there and like do a live podcast.
Oh, that would be solid.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's other murderous hotels out there. You can do that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'll find one.
On the subject of murder, I want to talk about Mindhunter Season 2.
So excited.
You saw the first season, right?
I did.
Fucking great. Season 2, we got Chuck Manson. We got Son of Sam in there. Is that Berkowitz? I forget.
David Berkowitz is the son of Sam, yeah.
Yeah, they're bringing out all the all-stars. Like the first...
The heavy hitters.
Yeah. The first season was like, we're keeping it, you know... I mean, what is his name? Shit. The serial killer in that.
Ed Kemper,
thank you.
Ed Kemper...
That was a perfect way to start.
That was my main gripe with the first season, was that he wasn't in it enough.
Yeah.
Because those first couple episodes where he's in it, it's just fat. It's just terrifying. Engrossing.
And the ending, I forgot, I rewatched it, and like... When he fucking hugs him at the end and he has that breakdown, it's just like, oh, that is so perfect.
Yeah.
It's a perfect way to deal with that character of this like smug, I'm so smart FBI guy, of just it all coming rushing into him at the end of like everything he was exposed to.
Yeah.
So, I'm super excited. I also think the guy that's playing Manson in this, we've been seeing Charlie Manson show up. And, like, this is the most realistic-looking Charlie Manson I've seen. I don't know how good he is, but same with the Berkowitz. Like, they're really nailing the actors who are playing these.
Yeah, they did with Ed Kemper, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mindhunter's a great show.
Yeah, everybody watch Mindhunter.
And it's, like, if you watch it, go look into the actual story behind that guy, because that's where so much of what we know about serial killers comes from.
Yeah. It's also, I was talking to Abe about this, I wonder if not enough people have seen it, because Mindhunter is a terrible name for this show, because Mindhunter sounds like it's like one of those documentaries about serial killers that ends up being really lame, or like just one in a million.
Or it sounds like he's going to be using his psychic abilities.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to profiling, which is... what he actually did.
Right. I think some producer was like, you got to call it something sexy, like Mindhunter.
Yeah. And that's not sexy.
No. They should do a Mime Hunter. Like, that's pretty straightforward what that would be, right? Just like hunting rifle, mimes. Just
picking them off from a sniper position.
Yeah.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Sniping mimes.
I might even shoot a couple.
Yeah. It could be a reality TV show.
Yeah. You compete.
What are they? Yeah, they're not going to say anything about it. They're fucking mimes.
They can't.
Yeah, they're animals. Final trailer, 1917.
This looks intense.
Yeah, this is a war movie that I didn't know existed. It's Sam Mendes, the guy who did fucking Skyfall.
Which war is this?
I don't know. It's a war of...
it's probably World War One, isn't
war
it?
War of... it's in 1917. I'm bad at history. I don't know if you know this about me.
I'm pretty bad at history, too.
I really appreciated them making the title the date, so I could be like, oh, okay, that's when that is.
That's when this war happens.
Yep.
Yeah, I got the impression it was World War
It's
got
to be the first one, right? Yeah, because the second one
Well, it's not going to
is...
be World War II, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, World War I was 1914 to 1918.
There we go. So this is right in the middle of that.
Right in the thick of it.
Yeah, there's like bombs and people yelling and they're all British.
People running.
Yeah, people running.
A lot of running plays a big part in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, war's got a lot of running, a lot of cardio.
But this is a lot of people running one way and one guy running a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, what's his deal?
The Maverick.
Well, he's getting like his brother or something, right? I don't know. It looks...
Yeah.
Did you see They Shall Not Grow Old?
No.
That was, I think, World War One as well. It was Peter Jackson's war movie. And it is fucking great. Because it's the one where they remastered all the footage and, like, digitized it. And they have, like, British people dub in what they... Like, they had lip readers go through and, like, figure out what the people are saying in the footage. And then they got a bunch of Brits to, like, do the voices.
Oh, wow.
And they colorized and everything's, like, really crisp. And it's a lot... And it's just that. In a series of interviews, because they had something like thousands of hours of interviews with veterans that were just talking about what it was like, and so it's just a montage of clips of sound clips over this video footage, and that's pretty much the entire thing.
Jeez.
And it's fascinating because they kind of handle because I'm not one for like war documentaries. I'm not one for war films. But when they're just like, so here's what we did when we had to poop. And it's like, okay, this is the shit I want to know.
I'm into that, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like, here's what it was like just in these trenches and how much it sucked and how the logistics of everything and like what we were feeling. And it like really humanized them. That's a really good movie. I think it's on streaming right now.
I should watch that. Have you seen Dunkirk?
Yeah, I like Dunkirk.
I love Dunkirk.
Yeah, I'm a bit, I like Nolan.
That's World War II, everybody. We know.
I didn't, but yeah, I believe you. I don't know. I'm so bad at history. So bad.
I've boned up on World War II a bit since Trump took office.
Yeah, that's
feels
fair.
Like a good time to study Nazis.
Yeah, there's certain things you wanna.
Yeah.
You wanna think about. Yeah. Yeah. This I don't know. I'll watch this. This is.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go. I'm with you in that. I'm not big into war movies in general.
Yeah, I get it because war is extremely dramatic and
they're usually good when I do break down mm-hmm. and watch them.
I think personally I have this with it's not the same thing, but like torture horror movies I don't tend to like because I'm like, well, that's just a real thing that people can do.
Right.
And it's the same with war movies where I'm like, I get why they exist and they're quite good and it's I understand it, but like I watch movies because I want to be scared of or sympathize with like a ridiculous situation.
Yeah.
I want to be like, oh yeah, let's watch these people fight a killer shark.
And it's, right.
And it's ridiculous and you've gotten me into it. So when things get like too real, sometimes I don't know.
Yeah. Or when things are, I at least like if a horror movie is going to touch on a real subject, make it fantastical still.
Yeah.
I think a good example of that, did you see the last Into the Dark movie, Culture Shock?
No.
It is great. It's yeah. probably my favorite one. And it's basically...
I still need to watch those.
I think the best way to describe it is... if our current immigration crisis was happening inside the Matrix.
Shit.
It is pretty fucking good. And it's depressing, especially the opening parts, which is just a woman literally trying to enter the United States with the help of...
the Matrix?
A coyote.
Oh.
And then she gets to the United States and it turns weird. And I like that. Like, had it just been, we're going to show you the brutal realities of migrating to the United States from Central America,
right.
It would still be good and it would still be necessary, but it would feel a little dirty turning that into horror.
Right. You have to all like on add its own. Something to it.
Yeah.
To make it, yeah.
And Culture Shock. You haven't watched any of those?
I watched the first one. That's the Halloween one?
Yeah.
I liked that one. It's not that I just need to do it because it's not, I have no reason not to watch those.
Yeah. And there are obviously some are better than others. Pooka is really good. That's the Christmas one.
Okay. What's the newest one? What holiday? What month?
I think it's just like the end of school or back to school.
Oh, okay.
Because there's no holidays in August.
Right. So it's more topical, it sounds like.
Yeah. And they've done, like, they did one about April Fool's Day. That's not an actual holiday.
Right.
And just that's one of the better ones, too. It's called I'm Just Fucking With You. And it's
that's great.
Stars Ike Barinholtz. Really fucking good. But Culture Shock's great.
Okay. I'll check that out. Yeah, I've been meaning to go through those.
And it's confusing because it's on Hulu, and if you just search for Culture Shock, you're going to find a documentary about the death of Michael Jackson.
That's probably why these are hard, because I don't think many people are aware of this series.
They're not doing a great job promoting it.
No, they really
I feel
aren't.
Like I'm on the cutting edge of promoting
I was
Into
about
the
to
Dark.
Say, the only reason
and they're almost done.
Yeah, the only reason I know to watch these is you keep showing up and being like, reminder, watch this.
Because
otherwise it doesn't pop up anywhere. Not like I don't hear about it anywhere except for from you.
Yeah, and Hulu doesn't even, like, when the movies premiere, they'll put it up just with the name of the movie, and they don't put the Into the Dark part.
Right, and that's kind of important.
It's real. It's Blumhouse making a fucking 12-part horror movie series for Hulu, and it's like no one gives a shit. It's great.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the news stories.
All right.
This week. Lion King became the fourth Disney film this year to cross 1 billion. I think they're up to like 7 billion total. Disney is making more money than any studio has ever made in a year.
We're going to have to burn Disney down, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think at some point.
Yeah, it's a continuing theme on this show, is Disney.
The people are going to have to rise up.
We got a real problem on our hands. Because they're not, I don't know, man.
Yeah, what's the ETA on this being a Disney podcast?
I mean, that's the problem, is if Disney was like, hey, we'll buy you, I'd be like, yeah, okay. Like,
right.
Because that's why they're owning everything, where they're just like, look, we'll give you all the money. And it's like, you know, George Lucas is like, okay, I'm so tired. Just give me.
Yeah.
Give me all the millions.
And who can blame him?
No.
Yeah. I would be tired, too, if I was George Lucas.
Yeah, he seems like a tired man.
I mean, he's been, like, he's got one of the worst fandoms to have to deal with.
Yes.
Like, Star Wars fans, that would be exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, I couldn't.
It's a fandom that's grown into its own industry, you know?
Right. And it's kind of like Metallica. In that he's never going to make his original fans happy ever, ever, ever again.
Right.
Like, there's nothing he can do. So his only choice is to just stop working altogether or...
And I think it's...
sell out to Disney.
It's incredible because it's... I don't think Star Wars was ever something he gave that much of a shit about. Like, I think he made it and he was like, yeah, this is... Like, I remember the story about how the first lightsaber was built. The prop... The prop guy went to Lucas and was like, so how are these lightsabers going to be? And he's like, I don't know, just figure it out. And then, and the prop maker, like, he went into a truck with a bunch of junk and he was just like, okay, I guess I'll take this and this and this.
Yeah.
Showed it to him and he was like, yeah, that's fine. Because he was just making a fucking sci-fi movie that was, like, kind of dumb and kind of fun. And I don't think Lucas ever intended it to become this giant monster.
It is
now
kind of...
people are like...
unbelievable that it became what it did.
Yeah, and there's people now like making diagrams of how lightsabers work and the crystals and all. Oh,
right.
I'm sure Lucas is thinking like, man, I just had some guy make that in a truck. We did not think about it at all.
Yeah, I was way into Star Wars as a kid, but even then, like the books, I was like, I don't care about that.
Yeah, because it's trying to put logic and like build out a world that I don't think they ever intended of it having any internal logic when they were making it.
Yeah, and I think that overanalyzing that whole universe is kind of what plays into people's unhappiness with the movies.
I think
sometimes.
So too. I think people, we get so bogged down with it now.
Yeah.
Where we're like, Yoda wouldn't say that, or that wouldn't happen, or that's not how the Force works. And
and it's like, that's a fucking space movie. It reminds me of that... controversy that happened this past week where Neil deGrasse Tyson like called out the movie Frozen because their snowflake on the cover of the poster wasn't correct.
Right.
And it's like, fuck face, there is a talking snowman in that movie.
Yeah, I think,
how about you fucking relax?
I think this is what happened with Christopher Nolan. Is I'm a fan of Christopher Nolan.
Same.
And I've mentioned it before, and I think the internet got so... Because every time a movie came out, someone would draw like a diagram of like, here's what the plot is in graph form. And then there'd be lists of like, how scientifically accurate is it, Inception?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what the answer is? Don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
One bit.
Yeah, like I don't know why we're holding him to that standard. Like I saw the one that was like, Is The Dark Knight Rises scientifically accurate? And it's like, no. I can tell you right now. It doesn't matter. Because he has that like gritty look to his films that suddenly we were like, I demand all his films be really realistic. And it was like, no, I don't think they need to be. He does push that somewhat. But
right, but he's still making movies about Batman.
Yeah, or like fucking just space and
yeah, like Dunkirk was very realistic.
Yeah, but I'm sure it has historical inaccuracies, and I also
probably
am sure I don't care because it's like who gives a fuck, man?
Yeah, I think people sometimes do themselves a disservice a little bit in the way they analyze movies. Like, sometimes you just need to fucking
have fun. Yeah, part of it is kind of Nolan's fault, I think. Because I've seen a lot of people be like, Nolan movies aren't as smart as people think. And it's like, I don't think they're very smart.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's like a, they're starting from the wrong. And he does present his movies as being like smart movies, but they're just fun. They're fun, dumb sci-fi.
Yeah.
I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that. Speaking of dumb, Walking Dead spinoff had like a teaser, but
it's just teens telling their truth.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I wrote an article for Cracked, and I still stand by this. The most effective place to put a Walking Dead spinoff would be Detroit.
Oh.
Because one, Detroit has winter. And we've never seen zombies have to fight winter.
Yes.
Detroit also has, aside from Texas, which doesn't really have the kind of winter we need to make this work, Michigan has the second highest concentration of militia members in the United States.
Mm.
And those motherfuckers are just itching for some zombie shit to jump off. And to see a Walking Dead spinoff where all of these racist militia fucks have to descend on Detroit and protect Detroit. And now Detroit has to work with these goddamn militia types against a common enemy that they know will probably just die out when the winter comes.
Right.
But until then, it's not winter and we have to fight so we don't all die before then. Like, you could tackle a lot of social issues because of the racial stuff. And also it would be an opportunity to make a Walking Dead spinoff that kind of has a happy ending.
Yeah.
Where you know they're going to win,
right,
but they just have to fight long enough. Make it a fucking limited series event.
Yeah. I don't think they care about any of that. I think they care about,
which is a shame.
Yeah. Just having something that lasts as long as possible.
Yeah.
And that's where the Walking Dead has completely lost me.
I stopped watching The Walking Dead after season 3, I think.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I maybe went a little bit longer, but not much longer. Because it is just spinning their wheels, the entire series. And then Fear the Walking Dead, I think I watched the first season of that and was like, no.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that.
It's all just, there's nothing interesting. They should just make the World War Z book into a series. Because World War Z was probably the last time a non-comedic version of a zombie apocalypse interested me.
Yeah, I liked World War Z a lot. I think people discount the Fast Zombie Revolution.
Yeah, well, do you mean the movie or the book?
The movie.
Yeah, okay, I was thinking of the book itself.
Yeah.
Because the book needs to be a series, because they did like Michael Crichton shit with that. Like, and what I mean is like, when they were explaining zombies and why zombies would take over, it was so intelligent because they were saying stuff like, a grenade doesn't affect a zombie like it does a human body. The concussion doesn't hurt them. So us using grenades didn't work. And then the army, they're trained to aim for center mass. So like headshots are not something like our army is equipped to do.
Yeah.
And like they're all hooked up where they can hear each other, and then when others start turning and dying, they can all hear it, and there's this like shock and awe thing, and like actually like really like breaking it down of like, this is what would realistically happen throughout the world and how everybody would react and like what would happen when they hit the cold and where like
what do they say about when they hit the cold?
They start freezing up. That's like some of the places where we get like some help, but like It's a fascinating
book. Why there needs to be a Walking Dead in Detroit.
Yeah. But like that book would have made a great like mini series where it's just like, let's really like in a nerdy, serious way go through like, okay, here's what would happen in the zombie apocalypse. And this is how we would deal with it. And like, no one's done that because I think World War Z is, that movie has a lot of problems, but I do enjoy the swarm. The fast zombie swarm idea.
One of my favorite, and it's not a perfect movie, definitely, but World War Z has one of my favorite movie scenes in general.
Yeah.
And I love, it's how they set up how fast people change from
Oh, yeah.
You got bit, so now you're a zombie. And it's when Brad Pitt is running away with his family and his daughter drops that doll.
Yeah, and it counts.
And that doll does a countdown. And as soon as she gets to the end, that guy fucking flips over and mm-hmm. he's a zombie now. I fucking love that scene so much.
They just made a World War Z video game. Another reason you should play video games.
Got to get into it.
It's pretty fun.
If someone listening to this could send me a video game console.
All right, yeah, someone say send Adam.
Collaborate, so you don't overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And like two of you send me a Nintendo Switch when...
Don't send him a Switch. Send him like a PlayStation.
Send me
Switches
a PlayStation.
Are fun, but like Nintendo Switch was my biggest like video game console regret, where it's still a fun console, but it's for kids. And it's really, as an adult, it's just like I don't have much use for this.
Well, I'll try it out, and if I don't like it, I'll just sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Or just send... Adam, $500.
Yeah, or if you just want to come by,
mm-hmm.
just message me. I'll give you my address. Bring me $500 and, I don't know, maybe a GameStop gift card. Do we still have GameStops? Are those a thing?
Yeah.
Is that a real place?
GameStop.
Okay, fuck GameStop, you know?
So James Wan is directing an untitled horror project before Aquaman 2. I don't know why I included this, because we don't know anything about it.
I dislike James Wan movies so much.
Really?
I don't know if there's ever been one. I thought The Conjuring was fucking absurd.
I'm happy that you're saying this. I don't completely agree with you, but his movies have always... That Conjuring... what's the other one? Insidious universe... It bugs me because I think it's the most basic horror gets.
It's really basic. I hate that now they're selling it as from the Conjuring universe. It's like those are based on stories that happened in the real world.
Yeah,
so
the weird
that's just
universe.
The universe. It's not the Conjuring universe.
But now they are, because narratively, the cinematic universe is what they've created as a situation where movies are narratively broken. Single movies.
Yeah.
Like the Mummy movie with Tom Cruise. They're too busy setting up a universe to make a movie. So like half of the movie is like, hey, look at this thing. Let's check out this thing. Oh, this will be there later. And that's what these movies now are, is that they keep introducing like random ghouls that they're like, this is going to be a movie later. And it's like, yeah, but in the context of the movie we're watching, it's nonsense.
Yeah. Did you see Annabelle Comes Home?
No, I wasn't planning.
Fucking stupid.
The Annabelles are awful.
Yeah, the Annabelle movies are bad. Curse of La Llorona was
That was mediocre.
It
They're
was
all
fun, but it wasn't good.
Most of them are mediocre. The Nun is bad.
The Nun is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, The Nun is amazingly bad.
The Conjuring lost me at the moment they finally show the monster. Because so much of that movie, they were like, oh, you barely even see the ghost. You don't see it till the end. And then you see it, and it's like, yeah, I get why we didn't see it. It looks stupid.
Yeah.
It's just a witch standing on someone's dresser.
And that's the thing is, I think it's like haunted house horror.
Yeah.
Where they're like, a nun, but creepy. You don't see that every day. And it's like, yeah, it's the easiest thing to do.
Right.
And those, excuse me, and those movies, it's everything's dark. Like the Curse of La Llorona, where it's like walking through a hospital and it's green and all the lights are blinking and it's like, oh yeah, what a challenging thing to make scary is a dark
right
hallway. It's like way to really like, you know, exert yourself creatively. And that's
the issue. I wonder if something's gonna jump out.
Yeah, and it's all jump scares and it's all every now and then. I would say I enjoyed The Conjuring. Certain moments in The Conjuring are very good, and certain moments in I keep forgetting what the other one's called.
Insidious.
Like, there are moments that I've liked in all of it, but it's all so easy.
Yeah. I can't get into those movies.
Yeah, and I'm not...
I actually liked The Conjuring 2 better than The Conjuring. And The Conjuring 2 was absurd. But
yeah,
I did remember. Like it.
Yeah, Conjuring 2... Yeah, that one had its moments, because there was a couple shots that were... Like when the old man, when they channel the old man
yeah.
out of focus in the background. shit like that. That's the stuff I'll give James Wan, is his cinematography, the way he'll direct stuff is very good.
Yeah, his movies look great.
Yeah, but in terms of scariness, it's just as basic as you can get.
Right.
I want to say, I'm trying to think, the second Annabelle, I think, has a good director, too. Like, they'll have good directors, but it's...
Like, how many times can the premise be...
I get it.
You got a haunted doll in your house, better get it out of there.
Yeah, I get it, because a lot of people, when you go to the theater and see those movies, it's a lot of people, like, having dates, and a lot of people aren't nerds. And it's like, I get it. If you're not, like, a horror nerd or anything...
Yeah.
And you just want to go out and with your friends and see a PG-13 movie like that's horror, it's like it works.
Yeah.
It's pop horror, and that's fine. It's just, it doesn't do it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, my thing with James Wan is just the praise is so over the top. Like, I remember there was talk that The Conjuring should have gotten, like, Academy Award nominations.
Oh,
like,
I hate that shit.
I'm like, did we see the same movie? It's just a horror movie.
Well, that feels like they did that with Logan, where they're like, Logan should get an Academy Award nomination. It's like, no, it's just that superhero movies have set the bar in low that,
right.
Like, when something like Logan comes along, they're like, this is amazing. It's like, no, it's just a superhero movie.
Yeah.
That's like a little grittier, but it still has all the same shit as any other. Did you see Aquaman?
I have not. Wait.
James Wan, that made me, because it felt...
No, it was Venom that I saw.
Oh, okay, because James Wan doing Aquaman made me think, like, oh, this is what I want more of. Because it almost felt like, it didn't do that great, but it felt like a Spielberg movie at times.
Oh, yeah?
And it was very fun, and, like, lots of adventure themes, and, like, just crazy over-the-top stuff, and it's...
I should watch it. I would probably like James Wan better outside of a horror setting.
Yeah, that's what it made me think, is like, I'm kind of glad he's not just doing horror now.
Yeah.
I put this in just for you, this final news story, which is that Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly, who you don't need to know the names, who those people are, they're rumored to direct the D&D film that's coming out. They are the directors of Vacation.
Which I fucking love.
I know you do.
I love the Vacation remake so much.
It had some great moments. I don't know why this is happening.
That seems like a weird tandem. I feel like it's not... Like, I don't have that much of an emotional attachment to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm old enough to remember, like, when it was actually super popular in this country, and parents were freaking out about it.
Right.
And, like, I remember when there were stores you could go to that were just Dungeons & Dragons shit.
Right.
But I still don't have that much of an attachment to it. So this movie, I'm sure it'll be fine, and I'm sure people who are way into Dungeons & Dragons will hate it.
I mean, here's the thing about Dungeons & Dragons. They've made one movie version of it with Jeremy Irons.
Right.
And Damon Wayans, I believe.
Of course. Who else are you going to cast in a Dungeons & Dragons movie?
That movie is an insane failure. But I had kind of the right idea. I think we've talked about this on a different Hypecast, is they're making a Lord of the Rings series, right? And the problem with doing a Lord of the Rings series is that the Lord of the Rings books, like, it's not... I think the mistake people make with Lord of the Rings is that it's not a universe that we can keep exploring.
Right.
It's got one story, and that story is very important, and it's epic, and every other side story doesn't matter that much. And what they should be doing is they need to do a Dungeons & Dragons series, because Dungeons & Dragons, like, doing this movie feels like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because Dungeons & Dragons is a million stories.
Right.
In a universe. It's what they want to do with Lord of the Rings, I think. So hearing about this movie, it's like, I don't know what this could be about that's going to matter.
Yeah, and the thing with Dungeons & Dragons, outside of people who play it, there aren't characters that are recognizable by name.
That's the thing. And so if they did like an anthology series where it's like every new
yeah.
season was like a different role, like a different fantasy scenario that's all taking place more or less in the same universe. Like, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But it's kind of like doing a Monopoly movie where it's like, it's just, it's sort of just a device. Like, there is no Dungeons and Dragons, not that I know of, that's like a specific story related to Dungeons and Dragons. It's just a bunch of monsters and specific, it's all world building and no narrative.
The whole point of Dungeons and Dragons, if I recall correctly, is that the people playing it sort of make up the story.
Yeah.
So there's not like a central story to it.
Yeah, I think the best way to do it is, did you watch any of Harmon Quest?
No.
Because it's just comedians doing a role-playing game, and then they animate what they're doing. That's, you know, a very effective idea. Yeah. It's like a half-hour show, but it keeps jumping around from, like, various weird streaming networks and stuff. But, like, that I like, because they've kept a narrative going, because it's almost like the best way to do D&D, because that's the charm of D&D, is it's watching people improvise and explore their own imagination. So doing like a, it's weird.
Is this going to be a comedy?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe it is. Holy shit. That would be a mistake.
Yeah. And I feel like it's probably one of those things where these two are probably big Dungeons and Dragons fans.
Yeah.
And the idea is always, well, this person fucking loves this property. They're going to make the right movie. And that rarely happens.
Yes.
Like the Danny McBride Halloween movie, I feel like people are slowly coming to the realization that that was fucking garbage.
I really hope people are realizing that about that.
Well, they're already rebooting it with someone else, I believe.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I think you're right, but every now and then there's stuff like the Russo brothers, which were doing episodes of, I think, Community and Arrested Development, and now they made Avengers Endgame the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, I think it depends, and it's hard to tell how they, because if, like, when they first were starting to do those Marvel movies, it's like, why the fuck did they choose those guys? And I think the answer is because they probably got in the room and they had a really good idea, and people are like, these guys are really passionate. Right. So I'm hoping, like, I can imagine D&D a property that people have been sitting around being like, what do we do with this? And these two guys came in the room and they're like, here's what we do. And they're like, okay, those guys seem to know what they're talking about.
Right.
So let's go with them. That, yeah, it might not be good, though.
Yeah, it's very likely that the people who own the rights to a D&D movie also don't know D&D that well.
Yeah. Yeah, who can say? It's madness. Adam, it's madness.
It is madness.
I want to tell you about some movies.
Are these movies getting the hype they deserve?
No, they're not.
Really?
Yeah, they deserve more hype.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm all ears.
Okay, good. Because I have two, actually. The first one is the one I'm serious about. It's called Girl on the Third Floor.
Is this out now?
No.
Okay.
It came out in a festival. It has one festival.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it currently has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it only has like, it's only like 12 reviews. So it's the people who saw it. The elevator pitch is it's The Shining, but starring CM Punk.
Which turned me off when I saw it.
Yes. But also it's good.
It apparently is very good.
Yes. It's about a guy, CM Punk, trying to remodel a house with his wife. And he's like jobless. He's recovering from like a legal problem. His wife is supporting him with her own business. And he's like, they've like decided like no drinking, no like addiction while they're working. I don't know.
Right.
So again, very The Shining feeling. And he's building up the house that's apparently, he starts finding like secret rooms and like more additions to it. And it's like really creepy and atmospheric. And then apparently he gets seduced.
Maybe John Cena built him and that's why he couldn't see him. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, God. He gets seduced by like a neighbor lady. And then the wife finds out and then things get really bad. And it becomes like a bloody, gory slasher. But everything that's the people are saying is that it's really good. The trailer, did you watch the trailer?
The trailer is weird as shit.
The trailer reminds me of The Shining. The trailer is a shot of a sink, and it's like zooming in, and you can hear someone saying something about the house, about like this house.
And about the guy drinking.
About the guy drinking. You just hear these clips, and then the sink just spurts blood.
Right.
And it reminds me so much of The Shining teaser, which was just the elevator, and the elevator slowly opens, and the blood comes out. So they're clearly going for that.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, the fact that CM Punk is in it doesn't scare me that much. Because I think overall, wrestlers, for a very obvious reason, in terms of athletes, make the best actors.
Right.
Because 50% of a wrestler's whole thing is getting into a character and playing that character
right.
convincingly.
I think...
we've seen a bunch of really... good rest, like
it's weird how
John Cena's a good actor,
but we keep getting good actors.
Yeah, The Rock, John Cena, Batista, fucking Rowdy Piper.
Yeah, you know what? I was just reminded of a movie that a trailer that I forgot to put on this list.
What's
because
that?
Of CM Punk and because of this idea. Did you see the trailer yet for The Fanatic?
I don't think so.
Fuck. I'm going to put it on next week. It's the movie directed by Fred Durst.
Oh, wow.
And it's about John Travolta being a crazed fan of Devon Sawa.
Does Devon Sawa play himself?
I don't think so.
Because that would...
I wish they played themselves.
That's the movie I want to see. A Devon Sawa super fan?
I'm glad we're talking about this in more hype. I'm sorry that I didn't show you the trailer yet. I'm just going to show you a picture of what John Travolta looks like.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a Hawaiian shirt, a backpack on, and like a Caesar cut.
And this isn't Fred Durst's directorial debut.
I don't know.
No, he's directed other movies.
Yeah.
I just did a 6-episode podcast about Limp Bizkit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called $3 Pod, y'all.
Nice.
Fun fact about Fred Durst, his Instagram... all vintage station wagons.
Huh.
Probably the coolest thing he's ever done, at least until we see this movie, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I'm happy that... All right. What I'm most happy about is the return of Devon Sawa. He was just in that The Extractors or whatever, the escape plan. And now he's in this. It's like, I want to see a Devon Sawasance.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I mentioned that because it feels very much like CM Punk being in this other movie where it's like, here's a thriller made by Fred Durst.
Yeah.
It's just like this weird, all these things combining in your brain that you're not sure how that works. I'm not sure. I think Girl on the Third Floor is probably going to be very good.
It looks like it's going
to
be great.
Yeah. I want The Fanatic to be good, but who can say?
Yeah. Fred Durst has had enough breaks. He'll be fine if it sucks.
Oh, man, this is great. So we have three movies that deserve more hype now because I was originally two, but I'm counting The Fanatic. The final one is coming out this month, and it is a remake of Jacob's Ladder.
I had no idea this was happening.
I didn't either. No one told me that this was happening.
But I also didn't know there was a Young Guns sequel coming out in 2019.
Really?
Yes. Or wait, is it Young Guns or... I think it's Young Guns.
I don't know. The world is madness. But guys, by the end of this month, you will be able to watch a Jacob's Ladder remake that no one knew was going to happen. It's called Jacob's Ladder. It's the director hasn't really done much, and from what I can tell, it's going to be terrible. It's got like a 60% maybe on Rotten Tomatoes, or I don't even know if it has reviews. What I was reading is that they did something different than the original Jacob's Ladder's plot, which right away it's like, well, that's kind of why we like Jacob's Ladder. But
yeah,
they're dealing with PTSD and stuff, and it's between like two brothers after the war in Afghanistan, and there's going to be some new twist to it that isn't just Jacob's Ladder. But the trailer's out, and it doesn't look that bad, but it's just the...
Yeah.
Right now, the reviews are pretty lukewarm. It's just incredible to me that this exists.
Yeah, it's definitely not... And I'm wrong, it's not Young Guns, but I can't think... There's some crazy... Some sequel that is on streaming right now that just fucking came out, and it blows my mind, and it's along those lines. But
really?
Yeah, Jacob's Ladder, I just actually rewatched it the other day... because we did a Listcast episode about best military movies.
Wow.
And I put Jacob's Ladder on the list. Totally forgot Macaulay Culkin's in that.
Right.
Until he popped
Max
up.
In there.
Yeah, he sure is. Very much so. Yeah, that movie was just barely good to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cult classic. It doesn't hit. Like, I rarely think about Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
And every now and then I'll be like, oh, yeah, Jacob's Ladder, and I'll put it on, and then I'll sort of, like, start doing other things. Because I think it's one of those movies that I think worked once.
Right.
And then when you kind of know the twist, you're less... The journey isn't that fascinating. Like, the scares... Isn't it, like, just like a Tool video? It's a lot of, like, really fast people
moving yeah,
their heads around and shit.
Lots of... It's just... It's a creepy movie.
Yeah.
It seems like this would be a good time to reboot.
It does.
And Jacob's Ladder.
What I'm hearing is that it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that's what it... Because you could even... there's a big scandal in the military now that doesn't get covered in the press a whole lot. But we've been giving our soldiers this anti-malarial drug called Mefloquine.
Okay.
And it gives you psychosis if you take it long enough. And we've been giving it to people in areas that are impacted by malaria.
Delightful.
Giving it to them way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google it and look into it, like it's made more news in Canada. But that's kind of one of the theories behind why there's so many mass shootings and suicides.
Jesus.
Among military members is that a lot of it has to do with this anti-malarial drug that was used as a torture drug at one point.
Yeah.
And so a movie like this would be a good opportunity to explore that kind of stuff.
Make a horror movie kind of around that.
And I don't
idea
trust that they're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know why I'm assuming it's god awful only because it seems to have been buried
in
August, where they're just like, yeah, we're remaking Jacob's Ladder. No big deal. No need to advertise it or talk about it.
Is this even going to be in theaters?
I don't know, man.
I feel like it's not. I feel like this is going to be a direct
it
to
might
streaming
be.
Thing.
It's like Backdraft 2, where it was like, what the
yeah.
fuck? But like... Backdraft 2, at least. I don't know. Is there anybody from the first Backdraft in Backdraft 2? I think there are a few.
Yeah,
that
I don't know.
Could. But it's weird. This is a very weird thing. And I just wanted to bring it up because I don't think many people even know it's coming.
Well, now you do.
Now you do.
Get those AMC A-lists ready.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You fucking with A-list yet?
What is that one?
AMC A-list?
Oh, is that the thing where you can see a bunch of movies?
Three movies a week for $20 a month?
I need to do that. I live in Pasadena where there's not really... The closest AMC is here.
Right.
And so I got an Arclight, and I have the member thing there, and it's not cheaper at all. But I love the Arclight. I love going in and feeling like a real adult and going to see Aladdin at the Arclight, where it's like 7 minutes of trailers and that's it. And they don't bug you. And here's Aladdin. And it's like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's not the movie is. Yeah. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like, cause seeing movies for podcasts, it's like, I don't want to sit through 30 minutes of bullshit before
right.
every movie.
I like AMC cause they got the leather recliners.
Yes, they
those
do.
Great.
And those are great.
They sure are.
They also have better food selection, if you ask me. They have,
yeah.
You can get like pizza and fries and shit. So yeah, I should probably do that. And just for the fact that I see 4 theater movies a month.
Yeah.
That.
It'll save you some money.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well,
All right.
I think that's it. I think that's what we got.
That is what we got.
That's what we got. Guys, thanks for listening. Adam, thanks for co-hosting.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Anything, where can we find you? Anything you want to plug?
Oh, you know, patreon.com/unpops.
Yeah,
go listen to all my podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take a piss.
Okay, yeah, go take a piss. I'm going to finish this up and say, guys, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Adam, drop the mic. Patreon.
Drop the mic moment.
Yeah. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Jeez. Also, could you leave us a review on iTunes if you think to? That would be pretty cool. And finally, we have a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. We got new shirts, bunch of new shirts. Give us all the money, all of your money right now. And give Adam, he's in the other room now, but give him $500 or a game console. I think that's it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W. And find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown. And find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.